The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Hobnob and Vinings is where we are. Dale Murphy entertaining the crowd, having lunch here today. The Lunch with a Legend series brought to you by First Horizon Bank. Want to thank Dale for coming on with us a little bit before the hour of 12 o'clock. If you missed that conversation, it's up at 680thefan.com and also at the Fan app. And that is all driven to you by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. And coming up in about 5 minutes, Cam Newton has a plan for the Falcons, and he says it'll be good business. I don't know if I agree, but speaking of business,
it's time for the Business of Sports Minute, presented by Southern Company. Southern Company is building the future of energy for the customers and communities they are privileged to serve.
Ian Grimwade is with us. He is the GM of Atlanta National. And Ian, first of all, thanks for coming out for the Business of Sports. And second of all, if people aren't sure about Atlanta National, they'll get a chance to look at it this weekend, right?
Yeah, that's right, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on. We have an open house this Saturday, a chance for people to come out and have a look at what we offer here at Atlanta National. You guys might know, I'm sure you've been around a few of the golf clubs around here. Atlanta National's been here since the late 80s. It's a Pete Dye, BB Dye collaboration, so it's the only Pete Dye design in Metro Atlanta. It's a fantastic golf course, always has been, I think, recognized as one of the best, one of the most challenging, but one of the most enjoyable walks in a golf course in Atlanta. So we've just completed a major renovation in our clubhouse. We've got a new bar, which suits me. It's a British-style pub, so I'm quite happy with that. I think I might have been sort of picked out partly because of that. I started here at Atlanta National 3 months ago. And we've got swing suites with simulators in them now and a fitness studio. So we've got a fantastic new clubhouse and the same challenging but fun golf course we've always had out here.
May I ask, how do you christen the opening of a bar that you're, very happy with?
It had to be with a pint of draft Guinness. You know that had to be the way. Yeah, we cut the ribbon last week with a board chair, and he did enjoy his pint of Guinness when we did that.
All right. So explain to people how the course plays regularly and how you guys are able to actually, and I'm not using the term trick it up, but when you have competition there at a higher level, what happens with a golf course over those periods of time?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, because some people might be intimidated when they hear it's a Pete Dye design, because you see Sawgrass on the TV, and you see Kiowa has got the reputation of probably being one of the hardest golf courses that they play out there on tour. This week, of course, they're a Dye and Nicklaus collaboration at Harbortown, which is a fantastic course. So we're a good challenging course. I think here, and it'd be interesting for me coming here 3 months ago and playing it a few times now, getting to know the course better. It's reasonable off the tee. It gives you a chance off the tee now, but you've got to hit the greens. And if you miss the greens, you're going to be asked some questions to get up and down. But I think Pete Dye likes to do that, doesn't he? He likes to ask questions off the tee and give you a few things to think about. We have an island green par 3, the same as Sawgrass, or same style as Sawgrass, our 17th as well, which is a beautiful hole. It's just a really good collection of golf holes out here. I love the golf course. It's really good fun to play.
And as you said, Ian Grimwade is with us, the GM from Atlanta National. It goes well beyond just the course itself, which is fabulous. New restaurant, the golf simulators, the brand new fitness studio, as you said, the bar, it is all there. And the open house is going to be happening on Saturday from 11 to 3, so you can go and see it for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Just come along and see us this Saturday. You can sign up online at AtlantaNationalGolfClub.com, but we are open for anyone who's interested in membership. This is a private club, but come out and try some of our, we'll have some fish and chips out there. We'll have some of our food specials. We'll have some of the Guinness out there for you to try and have a look around the clubhouse, maybe swing in the simulators. We've got the latest simulators from Foresight installed, so we can have a go on there. We'll do a closest to pin contest there, and we've got some membership offers for those coming out this weekend, this Saturday.
Hey, Ian, real quick, if a guy tells you he's a Ford, his club, and let's say I believe him, he's a Ford, his club, what are you at my club? What are you at that course? Like, to me, I know what being a four is. You can play. But tell people what it's like to take your wink-wink four on the road and go play a course you don't know.
Well, I think here at this course there is definitely some local knowledge, and it's really just about answering those Pete Dye questions when you're out here. So there is some local knowledge, and I'd say if you're coming out cold, that's probably going to be worth a shot or two. So because you need to know where to hit it, but also where to miss. This is going to ask you a few questions around the greens in particular. So I'd say it's worth a shot or two for a four handicap who's coming here cold. They would be well worth their while to have a practice round before whatever event they're going to come here for.
So, Ian, everybody's friendly in the South. Obviously, we are not originally from the South, and we were kind of like a novel to our northern accent. So I've got to imagine that people have been very welcoming when they hear your accent as well.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to have a Scottish accent in the golf business, I will say that. So,
yep.
I love the game. And actually, when I first came here to Atlanta in 93, it was my first trip over here. It was for golf. And I thought then that the topography in the city was really good for golf. You know, we're here in the sort of southern end of the Appalachians, and so we've got elevation change, we've got trees, we've got water. It's really, really great place for golf, and we've got that here. We're quite a rural setting, even though we're just half an hour from 285 up in Milton. It feels quite a rural course, and it's a walkable course as well, so you can get out there and enjoy the scenery. But not
hey,
too
did people
far
ask? Did people ask if this thing was real at a certain point? Like, is this? Do sometimes people think this is a work that you're working right now, or no?
I do tell my wife when I'm going out on the golf course. I tell her I'm going to go work on the golf course. So yeah, it's I did choose to get into this career. I came into this as my second career, and it was a choice because I love the game. And you know, being at the golf course, or you guys love what you do. Like, you're involved with sports, and you understand this. Just you know, doing something you love is a good thing. If I get a bit bogged down at my desk, I'll just walk out, maybe take a drive around the golf course, say hello to the member, go putt for a while or chip for a while, or even play nine holes. So it's a pretty good place to take a break when you're here.
And see it for yourself. Like we said, it is happening, the complimentary membership open house this Saturday at Atlanta National, 11 to 3. You can visit AtlantaNationalClub.com to RSVP for that great Saturday at the club. Ian, a pleasure having you on. Hopefully we can talk again real soon.
Thanks a lot. Come see us, guys.
The Business of Sports Minute, presented by our friends at Southern Company. You can check out all our interviews at 680thefan.com, thepodcastpark.com, or on the 680 The Fan app.
Want to remind folks, the 1 o'clock hour is brought to you by AquaGuard. Notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or bowed basement walls? Well, the experts from AquaGuard can provide a free inspection. If you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors, visit AquaGuard.net. From golf to the NFL we go.
Punching it in from the goal line. This is the drive into the red zone.
So that would have been insulting, right, if I started talking to him in his accent. Because we used to work with a guy who still does it to this day. On or off the air, if you're in a cab with someone and they have an accent, he'll adopt your accent. Which I always felt like was insulting, right?
What do you mean you felt like it was insulting? The whole world feels like that's insulting.
So you are from Pakistan. Yeah, but you're not. Stop talking like that.
Come on, Zorax!
No, it's not him. The other guy.
Never mind. Never mind. I'm not involved.
You're going to get me punched. Stop doing this. Anywho, Arthur Blank, going back to this ESPN.com article on Bill Belichick getting the shaft from everybody. when in reality, he did the city of Atlanta a favor if Robert Kraft really did this. Talked to Kraft at least twice over the phone after talking to Belichick. And Kraft allegedly called blank to warn him, as we all know, not to trust Bill. Now, as you alluded to earlier, the Patriots VP of Communications, Stacey James, provided a statement to ESPN saying Robert steadfastly, he did use that word, denies saying anything negative to Arthur Blank about Bill Belichick. Now, James was then asked if Kraft had ever criticized Belichick to Blank, and James said, well, he had no recollection of Kraft doing so, but acknowledged, you know, something might have been said prior to January. Yeah. So there's your loophole. Yeah. If you're the Patriots.
Let me ask you a question. Is Stacey James living with Robert Kraft? You know, when Bob picks up the private line in his, I'm sure, palatial office, Stacey James right there? How would he know? Look, here's what he should have said. Who couldn't you say something negative about? Bill Belichick lost for 4 years in a row, basically. Of course, listen, at the end of the day, I didn't need Robert Kraft to tell me if Bill Belichick came in and said, no, 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 I'm a new guy. Everybody gets to do whatever they want around here. Me, I'm not controlling. That's the dumbest thing in the world. I don't need Robert Kraft to tell me that that will be a quote-unquote lie, whether Bill believes it or not. Because at 70, he was not going to be able to be that guy if he told you he was.
And Bill Belichick had some things to say about agents and the draft and rumors as he was on Pat McAfee yesterday. We'll get to that in just a couple
of
minutes.
And I've got a theory about Bill Belichick, okay. And I think it's one that he's going to play pretty well.
Now, when are you going to release your mock draft? I know you do one a year.
Well,
when is that going to happen?
I do my math draft this week.
Now, you're going in the bunker this weekend, right?
To do the mock draft.
Right. From what I understand, you're missing the Ford Leadoff Show all weekend long.
I am.
Going in the bunker.
I'm missing my wife and my children because I've got to go away and I've got to do this right.
Well, the people want to know who you're selecting. Buck did his Ballou mock draft from the Buck Ballou Show weekdays 10 to 11. He's got Quinyon Mitchell going 8th overall, the corner out of Toledo.
So is it
to the Falcons?
When somebody on the station does a mock draft, do we only care about the Falcons pick? I just want to know what the mock rules are.
I believe he only did the Falcons, and he did not do the complete.
Okay. So the first seven are a mystery still. Interesting. Because I know the locker room this morning actually did all 8 picks to get us to the point where I should know this. Who did they pick? Oh, I think Brandon picked the receiver. I think Brandon Leake picked a receiver because it ended up where you
And I think
bet.
One of the other guys took Dallas Turner.
And
anyway,
Jaden Daniels was still available after the Falcons picked at 8.
Kool-Aid McKinstry is another corner worth looking at out of Alabama. 6'1", 195, started 3 years there. And according to Mel Kiper, he had a broken foot and he ran a 4.4 40, which I don't know how you
No.
He had a broken foot.
That must mean before he had a broken foot or very much after he had a broken
Mel
foot.
Mel said he ran with a Jones fracture in his foot, a 4.47 and then a 4.48.
What? He's going to run a 3.9 once he gets healthy.
Listen, I don't care because you could say it's straight line. The fact that he did that with a broken foot tells me what he's all about.
Now, is that an agent putting out he had a broken foot? Who says he had a broken
foot? Listen, if this is all true, and I qualify it with if this is all true, he's got sack to go out there and do that. He is not afraid to fail, and I like a guy like that, especially at the corner position where you're going to fail, and you got to forget about it fast.
Thank you for telling me that, because now in my mock draft, before I get to the bunker, he's the 3rd overall pick in the draft. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
Everything jumped, according to what Mel Kiper had to say about Kool-Aid. Here's another welcome to Atlanta moment for Kirk Cousins as we teased on Sunday night for Sunday Night Baseball, 7:10 first pitch. He is going to throw out the ceremonial first pitch.
That
is
correct. Like that!
Now, I'm assuming he's an athlete. He works with his arm. Bad for him is different than bad for 50 Cent, Sienna, Sahara.
You got to hit the catcher.
Anybody that's involved with throwing it out. By the way, there's like 18-year-old TikTok people who now throw out first pitches. I don't know who any of these people
are. If you're Kirk Cousins, what you're saying is they get a pass. He doesn't.
Got to go to the mound. Got to go to the mound?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, it can't be in front of the dirt. There are certain people you go, hey, TikTok influencer, stand in front of the mound. I get it. Stand on the grass. Kirk Cousins has got to go to the mound?
He has to.
Okay.
There's no choice.
We'll see. I'll be in the building. I'll heckle the bejesus out of him. Go to the mound!
Yeah. Cam Newton is making the rounds. He has some things to say about the Falcons
and
the quarterback.
Every day he's got something to say.
Situation. Here's his latest theory when it comes to the future of the quarterback position with the Falcons.
What do you think an ideal landing spot for Shadur would be?
Atlanta.
They just gave First Cousins all that money.
We'll figure all that other out. If Prime can get Shadur
in Atlanta,
well, let me tell you something.
All businesses, including Magic City, will be appreciative of that damn pick right now.
Real talk.
Obviously, he was on the Club Shay Shay podcast with Shannon Sharp.
That's interesting. So he said, Shador, I'm assuming, and Dion are going to come back into town and go to Magic City. Do you really want to be saying that into a live microphone? Do you really want to be saying that Magic City is going to be the biggest benefactor of what would happen if Shador Sanders got here?
I don't think Cam really cares. I don't think Cam really
Doesn't care or doesn't know?
I think it's a little bit of both. Okay. Maybe 60-40, 70-30. You break it down however you want to break it down percentage-wise. Yesterday, this is our X-Platform question of the day. What is the most controversial trade in your team's history? Yesterday was the 25th anniversary of Mike Ditka trading his entire Saints draft for Ricky Williams. All six picks in 99, plus a first and third rounder in 2000 to get that fifth pick and take Ricky Williams. It destroyed the franchise.
Well, and you're missing the headline, because what was the photo that was then taken?
So Ricky Williams on the cover of Sports Illustrated is dressed like a bride, and Mike Ditka is dressed like the groom.
I want you to understand that really happened. That's not a figment of a fever dream. Ricky Williams put on a wedding gown. Mike Ditka stood there with him. I'm assuming it wasn't Photoshopped. And they decided for the cover of Sports Illustrated, they're married. Do you get it? They're married. I don't know if the whole draft trade thing was worse than the picture. I'm not so sure it was.
The whole thing was a disaster. Also, via JoeBucksFan.com, this story came out yesterday. One time, Buccaneers guard Ellie Marfitt claimed that Tom Brady offered incentives, which is illegal, to teammates for one specific thing. He said Brady took our starting offensive line to the side and said, hey, if you guys can get a screen to go for more than 15 yards, I will give you $1,000 cash each. So again, technically,
I know
that's illegal.
Well, that's why he can't be an owner of the Raiders. Obviously, he's a cheat. There's no regard for rules,
well,
this guy.
Not the first time he cheated.
No. Well, why is that taking so long? This Raiders thing, he's in, he's out. Why is this taking so long?
It seems to be fairly simple. It seems to be.
What paperwork do you have to put in if you're Tom Brady? Who's investigating you at this point? Have you not looked at some of the backgrounds of the people who've owned NFL teams in the past? Seriously. With all due respect, some of them are really stupid, too.
Bill Belichick was, of course, accused of cheating, was fined, and the Patriots lost draft choices, and maybe that's a big part of the reason why nobody wants to roll the dice on him anymore. So it looks like he is signing a deal with Omaha Productions.
Yep.
Tom Brady, I don't know if he's going to do that or not, but he's doing Fox, so he's in the media. Belichick's with Peyton and Eli Manning, so Belichick yesterday kind of dipping his toe a little bit further into the media water.
Signed a deal with him.
Yeah, he did sign that deal, and he's on with Pat McAfee.
Signed a deal to be on with McAfee, too.
And so there you go, and it looks like, I said, we're going to start to see the other side of the personality of Bill Belichick, and here he is talking about agents and picks getting floated and rumors and who's really responsible.
The biggest newsmakers here quietly are the agents. Nobody wants their player to get picked higher than them. A lot of the information, I think, that comes to the media about who's going to draft who, how high they're going to go, is a lot of media driven. I've never told an agent, hey, we're going to take your guy in this round. We're going to take your guy with this, the 27th pick or the 31st pick or whatever pick it is we have. I don't think there's too many teams that do that. But I think the agents will say, hey, my guy's going to go at 31 to this team. My team guy's going to go at 17 to that team, that type of thing. And then that just generates interest in their players. So
I can't believe Belichick's doing these things, but this is where it is going for him, because I don't think he's going to coach again. And speaking of that talk, though, specifically Billy Devaney, who was a GM in the NFL, he's going to join us in studio next week. Hopefully a couple of other GMs discuss the intricacies, especially in like the last week, which we are at right now, going into the NFL draft, 7 days away from this evening.
How the game has changed over the years with social media and the ability for somebody to read on the phone, hey, look who we're going to draft a month before the draft. Well, let me just tell you something. Put your phone down, because there's a really good chance that's not happening. And the only person putting that out there is the agent. I don't like the idea that I would root for an NFL franchise that's so stupid that an agent leaking something is going to make me change my draft board. But it sounds like Belichick is sort of agreeing that maybe it has been done in the past. Here's what Bill Belichick is doing. He's going to do the NFL draft with McAfee. This is the either I'm now in media tour, or it's the, you see, I don't have to control everything. I want to coach. Therefore, when I meet with you, Jerry Jones, Philadelphia, Jeffrey Lurie, I don't need to be in charge of everything.
Yeah, that was also a part of the ESPN article. You chose those three teams for a reason. He reportedly told those close to him, again, according to that article, he has interest in three franchises should he decide to return to coaching: Dallas, the Giants, and the Eagles.
Yeah. The Giants, obviously, he's got a history there. The Eagles, he thinks he's got a quarterback. Jerry Jones, could they get along? I don't know. It'd be a party to follow in the social media world. But the point is, I think he's either going on the, it's done, I'm now in media tour, or this is what we say. He can now have a public persona that would be a little bit different, which maybe makes the press conference easier if you do think of hiring
him. The last time Bill Belichick was not on an NFL sideline, be it as an assistant or a head coach, any involvement at all, was 1974.
That's when
the Minnesota Vikings and Steelers met in Super Bowl IX. Gerald Ford took the presidential oath of office after Richard Nixon resigned. That's the last time Bill Belichick was not on an NFL sideline to open a season.
Do you know how many people just heard you do that and have no idea what you're talking about?
Look it up. Google it.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube.
Google "I am not a crook, Nixon," and see what happens. It's, you'll see that or hear that. Do it again.
I'm not a crook.
I'm not even sure he ever said that. I know he did. But sometimes it's like Saturday Night Live. You just take something they almost said and bring it up.
Well, I'm not a crook. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't say it quite as dramatic.
Right.
But it wouldn't have been as funny.
And by the way, if you can play the real one again, you
Well, I'm not a crook.
Which one is more definitive?
I'm not a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
You might want to go to a doctor, your version of it. You might want to go get that
look. I think there's something clearly happening to the president. Down the hall.
What year was the last time Belichick wasn't on the sideline?
1974.
That's like 22 years ago.
It's been a long time.
What's that?
A little bit longer than that. It seems like that long since the Hawks have been relevant, so we'll talk about the disaster of a playoff or play-in, whatever they're calling it, loss last night. Who stays, who goes, and who cares?
Do you want to hear from Trae Young?
Let's hear from Trae Young
when we come back. We'll do that.
Indeed. Hobnob and Vinings is where we are. The Lunch with a Legend series continues with Dale Murphy. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard Foundation Solutions. Cellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
And the Chicago Bulls stay alive. Not a career night from Kobe White. 131-116 the final.
And that's that. 130, Chiellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
What do you mean that's that? That's only one game.
No, that's it. That's the play-in game. No, you don't. No, you're done.
Yeah. Are you sure?
You're done. It's not a regular season game. It's not a playoff game. It counts as a play-in game. And it's all over any way you slice it for the Hawks.
I can defeat the odds, so.
Ask me what that was like last night.
What was that like?
Like an almond?
It just is.
It just is.
Yeah. The Braves, it counts for them. They sweep their way through Texas with a common theme. We'll get to that in about 5 minutes. But the final last night, ending the Hawks season 131-116. And can they coexist together? It's the question that's been asked all season long. DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. A microcosm of the problem. You saw it late in the first half when Trae Young, I don't know what he was doing. The half-hearted attempt at a steal led to a wide-open three in the corner, which led to a six-point Bulls lead. And then with 7 seconds left, he just starts dribbling the basketball. And as the buzzer sounds, DeJounte Murray pretty much flips out on Trae Young and storms off the court. That's a microcosm of what this season, what the last 2 years, in fact, have been. They cannot coexist together. However, what you said to start the show, I think is going to happen because they're not going to get any true value in return for anybody. They're going to keep everybody together, and they're going to say, we were hurt. If you look at last year, at some point in time, we were missing two or three of our key members, and everybody will be together. And then what else are they going to do, Chris?
Well, they're going to tell us that the guys are really excited about this. They've sat down and worked everything out. We're not telling you there was a real problem, but I'm telling you the guys want this.
They understand now everybody is truly on the same page. You're going to see the same team come back. I believe that now.
Well, I don't want draft picks. I don't. You can keep your draft picks. You gave them away with Murray. I didn't care about it then. I don't care about getting draft picks. I don't know if they can coexist, and I do agree with you. That moment, after all this time, all the time on the floor, that was displayed publicly. I don't even know. What was Trae complaining to the referee about the time that he just stopped right in the middle of the court? It's a foul, by the way. You can't throw your body in front of somebody. And then all of a sudden he starts bitching at a referee.
Well, then he tries in the second half to draw a foul from 36 feet away. Guess what? No one's getting that call because it's an irresponsible move on the court. I am not blaming Trae for everything.
Nope.
What we are saying, though, is how can these two coexist? Because there's no evidence that has shown over the last 2 years that they can consistently do that.
He's a stat star. I'm going to go back to what I said 3 years ago. He's a stat star, no doubt about it. But you know what he wasn't? He wasn't picked for an Olympic team. Didn't go to tryout for this one. Wasn't picked for this one. He's on a list of 20 other guys that were wink-wink snubs. He didn't get picked by the coaches to be on the All-Star team. That was somebody had to get hurt, and then he made it. The writing was on the wall as to what other people thought. I thought Trae Young, his job was going to be get 1.5 guys here that are really good players that want to come play with him. I don't know if people want to come play with him. It's crazy to think a 25-10 guy, because he is a stat star. You and I agree. We're not blaming him solely. The idea that grown men can't get along for the betterment of themselves and their careers
and the city
and everything
else. It's too
easy
just to say it's his fault.
But it's three coaches. It's a front office. It's trading draft picks. Not having stock where you can go trade this offseason or during the middle of the season, the trade deadline. Which, what did they do with the trade deadline?
Nothing.
Nothing. So the whole building, like I said earlier, if you got on social media and said, oh, you guys, look at you, looking to run off another guy who is the blah, blah, blah. Nobody's running off anybody. The problem is, I hate to do this. I felt this way about the Thrashers there for a few years. I couldn't do any worse. If you and I were put in charge, I'm not kidding, at least you know what we'd be in charge. If the Atlanta Hawks came out and told me who was in charge of this offseason, I'd be interested. I don't know if I believe it. I don't know how many tentacles that would have. But if you and I were truly in charge, at least you people in Atlanta would know that we were in charge. And whatever it is we did has to come back to us. I don't know who it goes back to. Quinn Snyder, how couldn't he clunk their heads together and get them to play better? How do they not
understand? Maybe they
know
he's not really in charge. I think it's Tony Ressler. I think it's Nick Ressler. I think it's Landry Fields. And then I think it's Quinn Snyder. I don't think he has any say in anything going on. And that's why the lackluster effort defensively that we've seen all year reached ahead really in the last two games of the season.
Hey,
Indiana runs him off the court. And then Kobe White looked like Kobe Bryant. 42 points last night, 15 of 21 from the field, 9 of 10 inside.
I asked a rhetorical question. How many times have the Atlanta Hawks set a personal high for a guy, career high for a guy? A bunch of times. That's happened in the last 2 years because they don't play defense. How many times was the franchise record? Most points in a quarter, most points in a half, biggest lead at halftime, biggest lead after the third quarter. That's gone on all around here for a couple of years. Here's where Quinn Snyder's now going to get mine. What in God's green earth were you doing putting Trae Young back on the floor? 11-0 run Atlanta Hawks, he was on the bench. Now you're going to tell me, why would I keep him out? He's our best statistical player. Because sometimes games are played out the way they're played out in front of you. You put him back in, I think it was a 12-0 run for Chicago. And at a certain point you go, he doesn't have enough assists to keep him in the game. He is not shooting well enough to keep him in the game. And there just seems to be a different vibe. Well, Chris, how could you say that? Because I'm looking at his minus 35 point differential at one point. He's not all to blame for that, but I'm telling you, you have to, as a coach, have the stones to say, I'm not going out like this.
Here's Trae after the game.
At the beginning of the year, we didn't feel like we'd be in this position. Obviously, injuries made it tough on us, and we were able to still be in this position and to give ourselves a chance and just didn't come out and make enough plays. And I mean, that's just part of it. They were making a lot of plays. Kobe got going. Vucevic was playing really well. Everybody really played really well. So, I mean, you got to tip their hats to them. But, yeah, it's tough.
There you go. Injuries. That's what you're going to hear. Injuries, injuries, injuries. That's going to be the theme. We were injured. Someone was gone. Important players were missing at certain points in time all season long. No one's going anyplace.
When I hear a guy in a national broadcast tell me that a team is shooting 62%, into the game, late into the game, I'm going to tell you, uh-oh, we got a problem. You know what the problem's going to be? You're not going to outscore them. You're just not. They're going to keep going. They're going to build on that. And look, here's the other part. Am I supposed to give them credit when they were down 18 and they brought it back? No, because the NBA is built on runs. And the Chicago Bulls were not that good. Like, why were they up 18 on you, and why should I give you credit if you knock it down to four? They're not that good. And last thing, when you have the record the Hawks have, and he starts with, you know, we didn't think we'd be in this position, but we're pretty proud of the position we were in. Why are you proud of this?
Because of the injuries.
Why are you proud of this? Well, that doesn't work in my world. That doesn't work in my world.
I'm not arguing. I'm telling you, that's the theme.
50 and 20. I can get from my backcourt 50 and 20.
That's the theme going into
and
the offseason.
And I can't win basketball games because they can't play together.
Trey 22, DeJounte Murray had 30, 11 in the first quarter. Here he is talking about what the game plan was against the Bulls.
The game plan was we were throwing two guys at people. So, you know, whether they caught the ball, they were either taking a shot or they had a lane to drive. And, you know, guys are rotating all over the place. You know, and that's it. You know, for me, I want to guard guys. That's just a prideful thing, you know, for me and how I was raised. But, you know, like I said, you follow the game plan. That was the game plan. And you win or lose basketball games, and we fell short.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so he doesn't believe in the game plan.
No.
He didn't buy into what they wanted to do. If you read between the lines, it doesn't take much there.
Yeah, he was born to play defense, but just not this defense. Did you see the way the Bulls moved the basketball? It was a clinic at times. It was a clinic. And by the way, you know what that means? That means that Billy Donovan said, hey, you know what they're going to do? They're going to throw two at you, which means somebody's going to be open. And then when he throw two bodies at that guy, he might kick it across for an open threat.
Now, there were times where one guy was guarding Kobe White. Yeah, and then there was one time where two guys were guarding him, and he spun and split the double team and scored anyway.
He didn't care. He didn't care. You let Bulls fans who haven't really had much to applaud actually go crazy last night.
They shot 57.
Had a guy go 42.
Yeah.
A guy went for 42 that nobody ever thought would see go for 42.
He averaged 19 points a game. 57% overall they shoot from the field, 42% from three-point range.
Nick, they were at 63% fairly late in that game. And by the way, don't look at the final score. That was a playground end to that basketball game. You want one? Okay, I'm going to take one. Now it's my turn. I'm going to chuck one up. None of it was impressive. And Bulls fans have not had a lot to cheer about. But if you're talking about getting beat by the Bulls when it's lose and go home and you can't figure out how either to play defense, that's DeJounte Murray's story, or how you two can get along to beat a team that's not so good, one time is all you had to beat them. And you couldn't figure it out.
I mean, I guess you can make anything sound like anything, but those two cuts tell you, in and of itself, there's a disconnect.
Yeah. And what you know, I got my isotoner on. I got my isotoner off. I'm going to do the do-si-do, and then I'm going to come back
the
with
brace?
The glove on my... Whatever
yeah,
the hell it is.
I'm not really
it's a
sure.
Glove.
Not really sure what was
How
happening.
How about you have... And I love what Brandon Leak said this morning. How about you realize that maybe you don't have the feel? Have 15 assists. Have so many assists that I can't think about you not playing in that game. He didn't have that either.
And it's done. In the meantime, the Braves have today off. Their season obviously not done. They're back home to take on the world champion Rangers tomorrow after sweeping their way through Texas. Three-game sweep of the Astros, coming back and winning every one of those games. And Marcell Ozuna yesterday leads things off, the scoring-wise anyway, in the first inning with his eighth home run. And Orlando Arcia had the game-winning RBI single in the 10th. And when you talk about Marcell Ozuna, he now has a 16-game hitting streak that leads Major League Baseball. Jeez. And he also leads all of baseball with 8 home runs and with 23 RBIs. Those are your WellStar Well stats of the day. From managing chronic conditions to staying on top of screenings, the experts at WellStar will partner with you to help you feel your best. Together, we can create a personalized game plan to help keep you healthy. Visit WellStar.org today. WellStar, more than healthcare, people care.
Hey, Adam Gillespie, are you with us? Adam, are you with us?
I am here.
Okay, are you? See, this is it. This is what I was afraid of. I was going to ask.
I was going to say, I don't know if he's willing to participate.
Do you have in you, can you be charming? Can you, not even charming, can you present a story if I tee it up for you right now? Do you feel like you've got an on-air personality today or not?
What do you think, Adam?
Let's give it a go.
Explain where you're from and what the guy who allegedly stole all the stuff from Augusta has got going on and what he might face.
I feel bad for this guy in a way because, I'm from a guy. I grew up in Augusta during my high school years of my life. This guy has stolen millions of dollars of merchandise from the Augusta Nationals
wow.
Masters. And over a span of multiple years, he's finally been caught, and they are taking him to task. And I'm going to tell you, growing up in Augusta, I did a lot of reckless and stupid things, not worrying about the consequences, maybe as some other young people did. But there was one area of Augusta I never did anything to, and that was Augusta National, because that's power in my eyes. That place is so full of money and power. That is not anything I would ever want to
mess
with.
Now, for those that don't know the story, Robert Glebinski is a former employee.
You got to put his name out there.
Of Augusta National. He was charged in federal court this week in Chicago for stealing millions of dollars worth of Masters memorabilia over a 13-year period, transporting the stolen goods from Augusta to Tampa, knowing that some had been stolen, converted, and taken by fraud. So nobody really knows these specific items, but we know it took place, this operation, they're calling it, over 13 years.
Yeah, so here's the thing. There's a lot of problems with this guy. He's got problems. But, Adam, you're saying they don't throw a book at you there. They throw the library at you.
Yeah, I think they're going to come after this guy full force. There's no doubt in my mind. They have so many connections and so much power coming out of that club.
I agree with you. I don't feel bad for him, but I do understand that he messed with...
I believe if we don't shoot him, what kind of a message does it send?
He done mess with the wrong people is the point. I think they want old Western... I do. I think they want a showdown at the OK Corral. I think they want a shot at this guy right in the middle of the street.
This Glebinski's making a fool of us, you see. And if he thinks he can do it, then the next guy thinks he can do it. We need to send a strong, virile message.
I do think there's a little bit of that, thought process coming out of there, that we have to make an example out of this guy. Because if we don't, someone else may dare try to do it.
You ever see that movie Hostel when the face got peeled off? That's what we need to do to Glebinski.
Do you know the other problem for this guy is? They're going to ask him to sing. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. If you're selling this to other people, and if all they ask you is, where'd you get this from? I don't know. I found it. Like millions of dollars worth of either I found it, or it was given to me, or whatever it was. This guy is going to sing a tune like nobody's business.
Because they get the IRS to come after him, too?
I think Irwin Eisenstein's on the way. No doubt about it. I agree with you. What makes you think that this was going to end well? Do you think your name, what's his name, Glebinski?
Yeah.
Did you think you were smarter than the money and the power? Now, God bless you. You got away with it for 13 years. You should have stopped at 11. You should have stopped at 11 years. You should have said, I had a hell of a run, and should have walked away. These people get greedy. And I think Augusta is going to throw a library at
you. You see this here? This is a vat of acid right in your face.
There's a lot of black market gnomes out there right now being traded around.
Oh, no. Well, we'll see, because Augusta's now letting it be known. I want to follow this case like I want to follow not many others.
We just touched on the Braves. The Braves Clubhouse Report is coming up at 2 o'clock. Anything else you need to get off your chest before we're done?
Yeah, there's one other thing. Common, you know who Common is, the rapper?
I'm familiar with his work.
Yeah, we're going to hear a little piece of Common in the end of the day dump.
All right, that's going to happen, and we'll check in with Kevin McAlpin as the Clubhouse Report is coming up. We are here finishing up. At Vinings is where we are, and Obnob is where we are, as I was calling it, to start the show. Hobnob,
Vinings. You should have asked that fellow we had on earlier. Did you say it properly? Ian, should have asked him.
The guy from Atlanta National. Anyway, we blew an opportunity. But we will wrap up a Thursday and check in with K-Mac when we come back. It's Cellini and Domino. It's the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Who does number two work for?
150, wrapping up Thursday. Hot Knob and Vinings is where we are. The Braves Clubhouse Report is coming up at 2. We'll check in with Kevin McAlpin shortly. But in the meantime, Domino, you need to dump a few stories out here on the table.
Yeah,
the
show. Actually, two. Stu, hamburger. What do we think? Hot Knob, you ate lunch here. You actually enjoyed it. You had a little time during one of the segments.
8.5, 9.
8.5, 9. That is a good number. Because what do we know? There's no such thing as a 10.
Nope.
There is no such thing as a 10. The 9 is the new 10, which means the 8 is the new 9, and on and on and on. It gets very complicated.
He had a burger with a wedge salad. Very, very strong.
You know what he also said?
Recommendation I would make to the people.
You know what he also said? I didn't finish it because I would have been asleep on the table right here. That's how big the whole thing was. So,
oh, that's weak.
Thank you to Hobnob. I agree with that. Don't be a quitter. I did tell him, don't be a quitter.
They are judging you, Stu. I'm not.
Don't be. I am judging a little bit.
Yeah.
You're going to regret that later. Around 5:30, you're going to regret not eating the rest of that burger. All right. Here's what I want to finish with. You know who Common the Rapper is?
Yes.
Do you remember
he was an actor as well?
Yeah. Sure he is. He was at the All-Star game. And remember, this is what he did to introduce the All-Stars.
Making his second All-Star appearance. He runs the team like a mogul. From the Los Angeles Lakers, the coach, Frank Vogel. Unable to play due to injury. But anywhere on the court, he can kill it. From the Portland Trail Blazers, give it up for my man, Damian Lillard.
So it took me like 2 or 3 to go, oh, is he going to do this for the whole thing?
And yeah, apparently. Mogul,
yeah.
Vogel.
Yeah, he did. And he did it for both teams, by the way. It was equal opportunity. Team Giannis and Team LeBron.
Gotcha.
All right, whatever. But then he must have something to do with the NBA because then they brought him back. I don't know if you know. The NBA Olympic team now has a hype video. And here is part of the minute and 40-second hype video.
The dream team. The redeemed team. And all the Olympic champions before, between, and since.
The United States gold medalist once again.
What if this was the best of them all? What if this team took on the toughest Olympic field ever? I mean, Giannis, Jokic, Wendy,
okay.
Luka.
What do you notice
SGA
about this version of Common doing his NBA thing?
Not rhyming?
There's no rhyming.
Yeah.
There's no rhyming. What do you think about him saying, what if this is the best of them all?
Well, you got to do what you got to do to market things, right? You got to drive the viewers.
Be honest. What do you think about him saying, what if this is the best of them?
It's not. That's what I think. It's not.
And you and I don't live in a world where we bang on today's players.
No, absolutely
I know what
not.
Today's players are.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal. The ones who are phenomenal are even more phenomenal. But did that sound like a little bit of hype in a sense that what if it's...
To.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a hype video.
Of course.
But when guys like us hear it, because we're jerks, what do we say? Maybe they're going to be the second best.
Listen, I respect what you're trying to do, but I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
That's all.
I just want to make sure it wasn't me. I heard no rhymes, and then I said, I think he might have actually implied that this team could be better than the Dream Team.
Not quite.
Very
the Braves get the day off. The Rangers are in town. The World Champs are going to be here for a weekend series. And when you talk about the rotation and how it's going to play out, we know that Darius Vines will get another shot in the rotation. But tomorrow it's going to be Chris Sale. Then Charlie Morton and Darius Vines on Sunday. Tomorrow night's game is going to be on Apple TV Plus if you care to watch it someplace. Saturday on Bally's, Sunday night baseball on ESPN. But don't worry, all of the games right here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM as well as the Fan app.
Do we charge more when the games are on Apple
we
or Sunday night on ESPN?
Nothing, no matter where the games are on
no
television.
No way.
Nothing.
Can I do a little bit of housekeeping? You and I got something very wrong. If you're right now making your way to a dump in Philadelphia to find the chili in the ring,
yeah,
don't. This was in Cincinnati.
Gotcha.
So this was that freestyle or whatever it is. What's the chili they eat there?
What is it called? The spaghetti?
Yeah. What is it
chili
called?
Chili all together. Skyline chili.
Skyline chili. if you're going to go look for Jason Kelce's ring, don't go to Philadelphia. This is like Oak Island. I don't know if anybody's going to find anything ever, but there should be a show. Adam, you're like me. You've watched. Would you watch a show if people, Philadelphia Eagles fans, went to Cincinnati to hunt through the dump trash to find Jason Kelce's ring?
I think that's fine reality television right now. Who knows what you're going to find? You're going to find something,
right? By the
right?
way, there's a better chance you might find this ring compared to all the... I didn't find Hitler. I didn't find Oak Island treasure. Nobody's found anything.
I didn't find a ring, but I found a body.
No, like a lamp. Say a lamp. I found a lamp. So, again, if you're on your way or calling somebody in Philadelphia to go to a Philadelphia dump, no. This allegedly.
Gotcha.
You and I are not sure.
Thank you
this
for that.
This allegedly happened in Cincinnati.
Thank you for clearing Thank that you. Up. Kevin McAlpin is with us right now. A nice day off for the Braves and a day off well earned, right,
Kevin,
sir?
Kevin, I hanging in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm hanging in there great. And I know Ben and the crew, they're hanging in there well after a 5-1 road trip. It's good. You know, unfortunately, you have a couple of guys who are really swinging it well that probably didn't want the day off. But, hey, you'll take them when you can get them, right?
It's been a very, very strange way to open the season with the three All-Stars on the injured list, Max Fried still trying to find his way. And yet this team just continues to hit the baseball when they need to hit the baseball.
Yeah, we'll talk about that with Jeff Francoeur coming up on the Clubhouse Report. But, honestly, you know, look, this is – no one's feeling sorry for you, right? I mean, you got to move forward. You got to keep pressing on. And every team's dealing with injuries, whether it's in the rotation. The Marlins have lost, what, four of their five starters? You lose Spencer Strider.
Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
Look at Houston's rotation. It doesn't exist.
Look at those ERAs, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
Man, over the course of that series. So, yeah, look, they keep pressing on. Your depth's been tested, and so far, so good. You got the best record in the game right now.
And certainly rooting for Darius Vines, very nice guy who came out with us the other day, almost got that win, and we'll see if he can build on that as the nation watches on ESPN on Sunday. Chris Sale trying to bounce back from a start that wasn't really what he wanted.
Wonky. A little
and,
wonky.
Well, Charlie Morton needs to find his way after his last two starts.
Worse.
Again, we're working through some serious challenges when it comes to this rotation, and yet the Braves just continue to out-hit their mistakes, but we all know that you can't believe that's going to be sustainable.
No, and I'm excited to see Vines get another chance. I mean, look, after that first inning, he walked a couple of guys, but he really settled in nice. I think he got into a good rhythm. I thought his changeup looked really good. I thought there were some really bad swings in that series. And, Chris, you and I talked about that on the Ford Leadoff Show yesterday. Altuve looked really silly against Ronaldo Lopez. Yeah. I mean, that top of the order, there was opportunities, guys, left and right. They left a small army on base this week. So, look, you capitalize, you take advantage of a team not playing well, but, look, your rotation needs to step up. There's no doubt about it, because you keep going to your bullpen this early in the season, you're going to get to June, July, August, and those guys are going to have those innings just through the roof. So
yeah.
It's on the starters now.
And then that leads to September and October, or their tongues on the ground. Kevin, I used the analogy earlier. Starting pitching has put sort of a little bit of, you know, there's a hole in the wall here and a hole. So you have spackle. This offense has really spackled up a couple of the holes that the starting pitching has created.
Yeah, we haven't had to talk about the pitching struggles leading to losses, fortunately. But no, look, they're going to have to get it together deeper into ball games. That's first and foremost. And again, what they've gotten from Lopez so far, never saw this coming. Chris Sale having another veteran in there, that's huge. You're not relying on a couple of young guys, so I think the Braves feel like they're pretty well situated to get through this thing, and hopefully one of these guys, maybe it's Vines, takes that fifth spot and doesn't let him go.
All right, looking forward to the Clubhouse Report. What's coming up today?
Yeah, we'll have Jeff Francoeur. We'll talk about, obviously, the Braves' hot start. We'll talk about overcoming these injuries. We'll also have some Clubhouse audio from Brian Snitker from last night after the 5-1 road trip. That plus we'll look ahead to the World Champs, the Rangers coming to town. Excited to see what that looks like this weekend at Truist Park.
Looking forward to it. Want to thank our guests today, Dale Murphy and Laura Rutledge, for joining us. Isaiah Stewart, our engineer on site, thank you. Matt Lear and Adam Gillespie back in the studio along with Derek
Thomas.
Thank
you, gentlemen.
Thank you all. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We are back tomorrow at 11. Cellini D'Amino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.